Testing, testing, testing. Hello, 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 hello. What's up, everybody? How you all doing? Are you feeling the love? That's the question. Are you feeling the black love is the question. Good evening, everyone. Hi, Crystal. Great to see you from across the room. I'm so excited to be here with all of you. I am Ty Beauchamp. I am the founder of Ty Life Media, one of the founders of Brown Girl Jane, a TV host, producer, and believer in the power of wellness, women, and love, for the sake of being here, obviously. And I'm so super excited for this conversation because these two are individuals that, you know, obviously know how to create a platform that is necessary as we explore black love. As someone who is not married, but in a relationship. Did I just say that? What happened? No, proudly. And obviously in pursuit of all levels of love, I'm excited to have a conversation with these two dynamic founders, Cody, Elaine, and Tommy Oliver. Come on up, come on up, come on up, come up. Hey, and they're back. Come on, Tommy, you brought your food. He's bringing the food to the stage.
There was a love like this before.
Hey, I gotta dance.
Never had someone.
Now it's black love karaoke. You see that there's another platform coming. You know that this is how you know real love is in the building. You know, first of all, he's offering her his lobster. You know, black people don't be sharing crustaceans at all, ever. So you know that this is real love.
But the other thing is that she's finally gotten used to the fact that I'm gonna do stuff like this, and she's just.
Can y'all imagine, like, at the year one, I was like, can you get your camera off the stage? Now he got lobster.
Now he got lobster, but at least it's lobster.
He even got his camera.
At least it's lobster. So I'm excited for this conversation because this conversation is really going to go behind the real as two founders, husband and wife, parents, business partners. Y'all have love permeating all over your spaces constantly. So wait a minute. You all dated for 3 months and moved in together.
Yes. Affirmative.
What'd you say?
Confirmed.
And then a year and a half later, you were married.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and let me just also say this. I am almost 44 years old.
Beautiful.
Show the black love. Thank you very much.
Yes. They didn't believe you. They were stunned.
No, I'm like, clap. That's applause. not married yet, but working toward it. And I'm going to say this, you know, I'm going to approach this from the vantage point of not really thinking about marriage until probably 3 or 4 years ago. Okay. Because I was raised by a single mom and a single grandmother and grandparents. And so I didn't really value the importance of partnership. And I think that that's the case for a lot of us. But let's before we get there, we've heard from you throughout the day, but what inspired you to create this platform of black love? And it's not obviously singularly about romantic love, but just the essence of black love. What was the inspiration for the two of you to create this platform?
I know him, like, I know him well enough to know when it's like my turn to talk without him even saying anything. So for me, I was in my 20s, I was single, I was in grad school, and you're told the more degrees a black woman has, the less likely she is to find a husband. My parents are divorced.
So you're like, I'm gonna stop going to college.
Right. Not only that, I mean, everything was against me, right? I was about to be extra educated. My parents are divorced. People say when your parents are divorced, you're more likely to get divorced. And then, of course, there was this media portrayal of a black marriage crisis. So it's just like, I'm black, I'm a woman, I got degrees, all the things. And I, you know, long story short, decided that I had done research, of course, on that data and seen the holes in it. There's a lot of myths there, but that rather than combat the data, I wanted to create a place where black love stories live so that we can see it, so that no one can ever say it's not possible or it doesn't happen, even if it's 1 in 100, which it isn't. But I wanted to show us what that looked like. And it wasn't actually until I met Tommy that we started filming and making what we thought was going to be a documentary, and it was a docu-series. And then the platform itself, yeah.
Tommy's looking. What's your take on that? I mean, obviously that's a fact, but what was it for you, the inspiration for Black Love? Obviously, you were finding love and had decided you were finding love, and why did you feel it was important? And I think it's also important to recognize the difference in what the female perspective is and the male perspective is. So do share.
So it was in the beginning. So the company is different from the show. And in the beginning, like Cody said, we were shooting a documentary, and it turned into a docuseries, and it was very much the both of us. And what I mean by that is that oftentimes these types of shows or programming, they're geared toward women. And if a guy happens to be in the room and walk out after 30 seconds, it's just like, it's not for me. And so we decided early on that it was our show. She's the director, but we created together. We're both the EPs, and it's our show. And that it had to essentially pass the Tommy test. And so it had to be something that I was okay with. And the idea being that if I'm okay with it, hopefully other guys, if they watch it or if they get pulled in, they can see themselves in a way where they're not being talked at or talked about. And it's something that is relatable to men as well.
I love that, and I think it's essential. I mean, obviously, we know that Black women, I think, speak about love more openly. But how do you think, Tommy, how do we encourage Black men, and obviously, no matter what your sexual orientation or identity is, how do we encourage conversations to happen more openly about love for Black men? I mean, here we are in a room, predominantly women. We see some couples, for sure, which is beautiful and necessary. But from a man's vantage point, how do we encourage that and inspire that?
I think part of it is just seeing other people who look like them, who feel like them. Because I think if you look at media or TV and the types of people that talked about it, and not that this is all about our doc, but we were very intentional in that I wanted people that I could relate to. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the hood in Philly, and we didn't talk about love and relationships and vulnerability. And so, but I knew that those people were around. And so you think about the people that were just on the panel earlier today, they're all men, and they're all sort of, as you would call, like a man's man. And so for me, it was easier talking to somebody like Warren. Warren's an OG, and I think that's part of it, seeing somebody that you can relate to, seeing somebody who's had shared similar life experiences, and it's not somebody who's just like, yeah, but I'm never going to understand that. I'm never going to relate to that. And so the more we can do that, the more we can see that, the more we can encourage that on TV, on social media, on wherever, I think those are the sort of things that help to move it forward.
I will say that Black Love obviously is the catalyst, I think, for normalizing conversations of Black love. So I want to celebrate the two of you for that. And Cody knows this. I'm always trying to figure out what titles to assign. I struggle with that. But he likes Black love dates. So he wants to, every Wednesday, watch episodes of Black love and then have conversations about it.
I love it.
And Cody is like, that's amazing. And I'm like, I don't be really knowing like how to approach this, but I think that you have done a great job of normalizing the conversations of Black love. We're gonna look at some of the clips that are some of your favorites, but before we look at some of the clips of your favorite episodes of Black love, what has doing this series, the documentary, all of the work that you do, the summit, the conferences, taught you about Black love that you didn't know before?
Well, I wanna say that the clips aren't necessarily our favorites. I mean, they are.
They're just standout moments.
But they're moments that impacted our relationship.
Okay, so we're gonna go there.
Yeah, we're here to go there.
We're gonna go there.
And so in terms of, I can speak for you a little because there's so much we talk about, but in terms of like what we've learned, a couple of things we've talked about, one being early on, I mean, after season one, maybe season two, and I said this a little bit earlier, that couples who want to be together are the couples that
Well, let me rephrase the question then, because I don't want to know what you learned about relationships in general. I want to know what you learned about yourself.
Okay.
I will answer in a way that is a little bit different. I've learned that making the show has actually been very hard for us. And we argue a lot post-interview. And it's been quite an evolution because we've interviewed well over 200 couples at this point. And there's been overall a net positive, but there's definitely been a toll. Because we approach things differently and it's taken a while. And I don't know that we're there. Because recently, because we started shooting the new season, we got into it. And I was just like, and we are in a great place and we had been in a great place and we're in a good place now. But I was like, oh, we argue when we shoot the show.
We did not argue. Okay, you're right. I'm thinking about the news.
Wait a minute. I'm like.
No, he's totally right. He's totally right. And I was just going to say, for context, that as you mentioned, we met, we moved in together after 3 months, we got engaged after 6 months, we got married a year after that, and we were filming before we got married. So we've been filming it the entirety of our relationship.
So you have not had a relationship without kind of being not only in your relationship,
but
in the relationship of other people, which... Yes. Can have some
Black Love. The series has been a part of our relationship
for sure
from the beginning.
While we had a kid, and we're changing it because we're becoming parents, and then we are parents, and then we are pregnant again, and we have two more. So all of those things were happening at the same time that we're like getting to know each other because we had only known each other.
Do you feel like you know each other now?
I do. I think there's plenty of room to grow, but right now in this moment, I would say we're probably better than ever. I would say that.
Agree.
For sure. I would
ding,
say
ding,
that.
Ding, 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 ding.
I would say that.
Ding, ding. Aligned.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
All right. So I want to look at some of the clips that you've shared. Let's see which one is the first one.
So the first one would be the one you pick. You pick two, but one we agree. What? She talking to us?
Oh, okay. Wait.
Is the screen?
Do I need to tee up the script? The which one this is?
It's the Warren and Erica, but is the thing working?
Let's see.
Is that no?
If not, we can.
The cute little graphic is gone.
If not, we can give it a moment and come back. Oh, we're live. Okay, perfect. Let's see.
So this is a clip that Tommy selected because it had some meaning to him, which he'll share. Because I don't know what that is. And while that's happening.
We'll wait for that to come. There are so many questions I have about, you know, as someone who is open to love, ready for love now, and recognizing that it took me a long time to get here. It took me a spirit of recognizing that what happened in the past didn't work. It took me resilience in life and in business to get here. Have you all had times when you felt like I'm ready to give up? And what keeps you kind of fighting in the wonderful fight of marriage and togetherness?
So, as mentioned, we've just done a lot at the same time. Getting to know each other, having these kids, working together. We have very different styles. I mean, down to the lobster on the stage, you know what I'm saying? Which now I eat, but anyway. And so for me, for sure, there has been time where I'm like, I don't know how we're going to continue to do this marriage if he doesn't X. And X for me has been some of the things I talked about today. Like, sometimes I don't feel seen, right? Like, I feel like we are so different. And there's been this learning curve of seeing the other person for whatever they're feeling, right? I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to judge it, right? But like understanding that what he's feeling or going through or processing or not, right? Because a lot of it is like, what are you feeling? And he's like, literally nothing. And I'm like, no, let's talk about it.
But even that, the expectation that there's more to it than what I'm saying. If I'm telling you there's nothing else, but you keep pushing me and I'm telling you there's nothing else, well, you just sort of create a problem. Where I'm telling you, like, I'm okay, but you won't believe me. And so getting to a place where you actually do believe me, it's an evolution and communication and trust and so forth.
I think what's interesting about that is that
when we enter relationships, usually we're trying to identify and create alignment. And the reality is that what I'm hearing you say is that you have to honor what's different more so than aligning.
Yeah, you're totally right.
The stuff that's aligned is easy.
You're totally right.
Okay, do we have the clip? Tommy, you picked this clip.
I did.
Why is this clip significant to you, and why is it so memorable and poignant to and for you?
It was so important and refreshing to see somebody be fully accountable in his relationship and to support the agency of his wife and to just own his part. And I think that seeing that, again, from somebody who was not all that dissimilar to me was great. And, you know, we didn't deal with any of the same types of issues, but just seeing how he, it's like, it was me. I could have done things differently. I didn't. It wasn't the girl, it wasn't somebody else. It was all on me. And that, I felt, was just incredibly powerful. And I appreciated that he did that. And it's something that I've tried to do prior to, but just sort of seeing that, it's always stuck out. It's one of the reasons why I've loved that interview, but also loved and respected Warren and Erica. And it's just, he's a person who owns his own stuff. And for somebody who believes that the best thing that we can do or I can do in a relationship is bring the best version of myself, that was just a very clear example of that.
The only thing I
was going to say that was interesting, because, you know, I asked him to pick a clip. We didn't talk about it. Is that, you know, timing wise too, we had probably been married a year at that point, or not even that, right? I don't know. We might not have been married when we did that interview, but I knew married people, right? Like, and I had my image of what marriage was, and I knew people who had dealt with infidelity, and I never knew anybody who
spoke about it.
Exactly. To Tommy's exact point, I know so many people who were dealing with it and like, oh, this is, you know, this happened and they're sad or whatever, but I had never seen anyone up to that point have that accountability.
And be so open. I think that's the other thing about relationships that's so difficult. We bring pieces of ourselves to the relationship because we don't show up as our whole selves in other ways. But Tommy, I want to talk about this accountability, because I think accountability is so important. How many of you feel like you're accountable in your relationships, whether or not it's your marriage, your partnership, friendships, and, you know, the importance? How many of you feel like you're really accountable? Like, we show up and we say, we did this, we take ownership, we say we can deal with whatever your feelings are, and receive it. Accountability in relationship is so important, whether or not we're talking about infidelity, whether we're talking about taking the trash out, whether or not we're talking about, you know, like, I hurt your feelings. And I think a lot of the challenge with partnering, or can be, is like, you don't feel heard and seen and understood. So what did that teach you about accountability, Tommy? That clip and that experience kind of, you know, watching Warren and Erica.
I don't know that it taught me something as much as it affirmed how things should be done. Mm-hmm. And so as somebody who was newly in a relationship and wanting to make it work and who operated from a place of accountability in other areas, but again, like, I didn't understand marriage. I didn't understand what it took. Seeing that was just, it was nice. And something that I sort of understood, but understood more after the conversation.
Especially because I feel like marriage, when we talk about the idea of doing it, or the wedding, is glamorized, right? So, like, let's get married, but the relationship itself is not glamorized. You know, I see the wedding showers now, and it's a whole nother level. And so none of that is, like, kind of really looked at, like, what the journey.
It goes beyond even glamorizing it. People think a lot about the wedding, not a lot about the marriage. Not a lot about what it actually will look like day to day after the day of your ceremony.
Can I ask you, did you all talk about that? Because my guy says, what does it look like when we're in a committed relationship versus when we're engaged versus when we're married? I'm like, dude, you doing a lot of thinking. And I never thought like that, but I think that that's healthy.
You don't think that he should be doing that?
No, thinking? I think it's great. I think it's great. I know, and I also think he comes from a different perspective because he was married before. So having not, you know, had it right before has kind of opened the eyes. And I think, but those are healthy questions that I don't know if I would necessarily come up with.
Did you ask, did we talk about that?
Yeah, did you talk about that? Did you talk about what is dating versus this versus this versus this?
We didn't, in part because it all happened so fast. But we did from the jump, and I think this is why things happened as quickly as they did, is that a week after we met, and we met at a film festival, so a week after we met, we went on our like first date. And
was that ABFF?
It was Toronto.
Toronto, yeah. Okay.
And we went on our first date, and we both, while we were in Toronto, but on that date, we like talked about like real stuff. Like I went into that date like, I need to figure out what he's about, because I'm not about to just, you know, start dating and then figure it out, right? Like, I'm like, what do you want out of life? What is your biggest fear? I don't remember what else I asked you, but I literally asked him these questions because and I think that that contributed a lot to us.
Thinking about the process things, and what it looks like for you. Yep. Okay, while we're there, what's your take on falling in love? What is your thought about the idea of falling in love and sustaining love? Because I think we talk about the idea of falling in love, but how do you stay there?
The infatuation phase will absolutely go away, and it's not sustainable. That's not the same as a relationship which is based on shared values and shared goals and partnership, and it's very different. And so in the beginning, it's a whole lot of lust. It's a whole lot of things.
So falling in love is lust or not?
Partially.
Partly. Okay.
There's a lot of stuff, but it's necessarily different in the beginning. And what?
No, go ahead.
And I think that the expectation that it will be that way forever, it's just not. It's not going to happen. And so for me, it was about understanding what we could build together. What our life could look like together, what our family could look like together, what us as partners could look like together, and not just the super excitement that you get in the beginning. And that doesn't mean that I don't still get butterflies for her, because I do, but it's just different.
Were you going to add something?
No,
to that,
I was just going to say that I guess thinking about it in like simple terms, like falling in love is romantic. And it can happen over and over again with your partner, right?
I love that.
Marriage isn't always romantic. As somebody, I think it was Shireen, somebody said earlier, marriage is taking out the trash, it's paying the bills, it's not knowing how to pay the bills. It's, you know, it's like juggling lots of things.
And if you only expect it to be the romance,
right,
that's when you run into trouble.
Right.
I think it's so important. And I'm going to tell you, I am going to take questions from the audience at some point, because I want to hear what questions they may have for you. But I think, you know, again, I am so grateful for the platform that you all have created, because for individuals like me who didn't grow up with examples of love in the house, this is really just normalizing what it means, and I know that's the case. I want to take a look at the second clip, and I believe... Go ahead.
I'm actually going to switch it.
What clip are you switching?
There's three of them. And okay. So I think I said that the second one was going to be DeWanda and Alano, but if we can, I want it to be the other one, the Dondre one. And that is...
Dondre and Sally?
Yes.
Okay. Can we skip to the Dondre and Sally?
Is it quick?
Okay, let's see. Dondre and Sally clip. And this is a clip you picked.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Uh-huh. Ooh, that's so good. That's so good. But you heard all the bass in Dondre's voice. He's like, I'm not a kid. I got this. I can handle this. Tell me why you picked that clip, Cody.
So I picked that clip because it is an example of the fighting, right? So we'll sit down with a couple and something will be said that, like, I feel so seen. And I even feel like he sees it now, right? This couple, they've been married 17 years, and he just said, da-da-da-da. He said he tells her when he does it because he's trying to take care of her anxiety. Tommy, can you just do that? And he's like, no. And like, that's when we get into it, right? I mean, that's just an example.
Because we're not like...
Because she also ignores the time when I would say that and she would be like, no.
What are you talking about?
There are plenty of things where I'd point out something.
Oh, that's so not true. I mean, okay.
Look, wait a minute.
I think it's less. I think it's far less. I mean...
Who's keeping score?
Of course you do.
Your experience is your experience. But that's an example for sure of like, we legit got in a fight because I'm sitting here like, yes, the solution to all of our problems is Dondre and Sally's advice, and it's right here in front of us, and he heard it. He's sitting next to me, you know, and Tommy certainly with Dondre on the whole, like, you're ultimately nagging me if you keep asking about it, and I'm like, I'm trying not to nag you, right?
So just communicate.
Tell me when it's done. And so we definitely got into a fight after that, and the other thing about the clip, and part of the reason I picked it, is because when we shot that interview, we had had the twins, I think, 3 weeks earlier.
Oh, my gosh.
And we did two interviews that day, I think, or that weekend, but it was Kev and Melissa Fredericks and Dondre and Sally. And it was just like a fragile place that I was in. I can't speak for you, but like that's why this process has been so great, but also very taxing at times, because we'll be sitting there learning something and then we'll feel differently about it. And it's like, no, I need you to feel what.
And I would imagine that it's also hard to be in the space where you're learning, but you have so much going on. So how do you implement even what you're learning?
Yeah.
Because you're living at the same time with all these things that are happening at once. But you both have mentioned kind of like, how do you fight healthily? Like, how, I mean, I think that, you know, that's one of the things in relationships is really important to understand, like, how do you disagree in a healthy way? What does fighting look like for you, and how do you do it in a way that obviously is not dishonoring completely?
Oh, he don't even have his mic.
What are
in
your
his
fighting
hand.
Styles?
Looked over, he didn't even have the mic.
Go first.
I was gonna sort of say the opposite from the standpoint of like, I know that for us, like our style of unhealthy fighting is for me leaving something open ended, right? Like we'll argue, probably even about that, and then it's just like, now what? And I think that finding a resolution of some kind, maybe agreeing to pay attention to the other, like, look, I'm not gonna do what he does, but I do hear you. I do hear that you need me to change the way I operate, and I'll think on if there's a way I can do that. Like that would make me feel better. And so it's gotten better in terms of how we argue, but I would say a lot of our arguments early on would just like be open. Like no resolution.
So it's important to close.
For me, yeah.
It's important to have closure. What about you, Tommy? What's with the faces? He's like.
I think that, so part of it is not everything will be resolved.
Mm.
And so if we're in a place where she wants closure on everything, it can create a situation that is untenable, because sometimes the answer is agreeing to disagree. But if you won't allow us to agree to disagree, then it drags on. Mm. And so figuring out how to navigate that situation where she feels seen and supported, even if I disagree with what our goal is. Yeah. And so it's about fighting to understand, or fighting to know that we are still going to be together no matter what. And so as such, how do we move forward, and how do I not have her feel like I'm not trying to get there, even if I just disagree?
You want to know what that's, but that's almost antithetical to how we're taught to fight. When we're taught to fight, we're taught that someone has to win and someone has to lose. We're taught that someone is going to be put down and the other one's going to stand up. What I hear you saying is that when we come together in that way, is to try and create understanding on either side, whether or not we agree or disagree. That's big.
And it's so true, because the thing is, if one wins, one loses, you lose. It's not a win.
That's so good.
And it may be, I mean, at best, it's a Pyrrhic victory where you've won short term, but it's at a cost. And so once you really understand that, you both have to win. And my job is to try to navigate this field where I know what she wants. She wants closure. We're not going to agree. So how do I create a situation where she still feels as though she's got what she wants, even though I fundamentally disagree with what she's aiming for, so that we both feel okay.
I love that. Cody, were you going to add something?
No, he said it toward the end there. It's like, it does matter to me to know that he's thoughtful about and hoping to, you know, find a space where I feel heard, you know? Even if he doesn't agree, even if he doesn't, you know, if the resolution isn't like everything's good now, it's like, I hear you and I hear that, I hear why.
And what do you think he wants out of the situation?
Out of arguing?
Yeah. If you want to feel seen and heard, what do you think his goal is or what he needs?
I would say acceptance is probably the first thing. It's like, he wants me to like not try to change whatever it is he feels.
Because she did that a lot in the beginning.
Like, tell you, don't feel this way.
I wouldn't say it like that.
But there was a lot of that, and it was this idea of...
No. I'm thinking.
It was this idea of, well, I should be doing this, or relationships are this way, or whatever it was. And instead of accepting me for where I was, she was sort of tolerating me, or tolerating things that I would do, which ultimately created resentment, because...
And I'll say, I really want to understand, like, the things that he does. And he really doesn't. Like he said earlier about, sometimes I'll ask about how he's feeling, or like, nothing, you know, you don't, yeah. And he's like, no, nothing. You know, so for me, it's, if I don't understand, then yes, I definitely want, like, I want him to either explain it to me.
But
or
the place that we'll be getting into trouble is that I would explain something, but she wouldn't accept what I said.
That's true.
And that would happen a lot, where it's like...
She's like, that's right.
And so it's like...
That's true.
There is literally nothing else to this. There's nothing else to be said.
Mm-hmm.
I've said exactly how I feel and what's going on, yet you are insisting that there's more to it,
mm-hmm.
and you won't believe me, and then you're upset about it, and I keep telling you, and then I keep telling you, mm-hmm. and then I'll say... absolutely not to something, because you've asked me about it 4 times in the last 13 seconds, and then you'll get mad because I said absolutely not, because I'm trying to be clear.
That's a yesterday argument.
this sounds super
that,
fresh.
That absolutely
this,
not
this sounds like
was
this.
Extremely firm. I'm just saying. I don't even remember what it was now, but
it was, I just remember when he said absolutely not, and I was like...
She got mad.
Why are you saying
it like
that?
It was literally, I said no twice in a span of 20 seconds. She asked me again. I said absolutely not. And now I'm in trouble because she didn't accept my first no nor the second no.
I really completely disagree with the way that this went down.
Of course you do,
though. But what we can do now,
you know what? It was my fault. I'm sorry.
It's
happening in real time, people. It's happening in real time. I'm going to open up. I want to take a couple of questions from the audience. But what would you say, because, I think once you get to a certain age, and my advice as someone who's in my 40s now to younger women like Asa who are in the room, and I say, like, be intentional about thinking about love sooner, because I was not taught to. I was raised by 2 amazing single black women and my grandparents who told me I didn't need love. Not that I didn't leave love, but I didn't need a man. And so having been taught that, I'm trying to relearn, like, what it means to need anybody. And so I have, you know, some people in my life that I know that just, like, you know, whether or not they're in their 40s or in their 50s or in their 30s or in their 60s, who are just like, black love is impossible. Like, just whatever. It might not happen for me. What would you say? Go ahead, Tommy. What you got?
I would say that you may not need a man, but if you want a man, don't pretend that you don't.
I agree.
And so what you say, how you act, it matters. And if you are saying it out loud or saying it in your head, I don't need anybody, I don't need a man, well, you're probably going to wind up without one. And so, but if you want a man, if you want a woman, be completely intentional about it. And I think sometimes we're afraid to say that because we know that it might not happen. And so we've set ourselves up for something that it may not happen. And so instead of like saying, hey, out loud, I want to go on a diet, I'm going to lose this. Well, now everybody knows it. And so if it doesn't happen, well, maybe everybody's looking at me and judging me because of that. And that doesn't really matter, though. Like, if you want it, you are more likely to get it if you are intentional about it and if you make that known.
I love that. Let's give it up for that. That's really good. And I think what you're saying ultimately is that if you think something is impossible, then you're leaning into the impossibility.
If you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you're right.
Thank you. Really, really good. Cody, were you going to add? She's like, yeah, that's good, baby. I saw
yes,
that.
I was co-signing.
That's good. That's good, baby.
I was supporting it.
I see Crystal with the mic.
So. Oh, okay. Crystal with the mic is ready. Okay, so before we go to the audience questions, and I hope you all have a couple questions because obviously they're the poster people of Black Love. What is your hope for the future of Black Love? What is your hope for the future of Black Love? Here we are in 2021, almost 2022, and gratefully, I can say there's been an evolution because of people like you and your vision. I think there's been an evolution around the conversations of Black Love because of, you know, Jay and Beyonce and people in the forefront of it that are symbols of it. What is your hope for the future of Black Love?
A, my hope is for that to continue, right? For people to continue to stand up for Black Love, right? Stand up in their relationships, the Jay-Z and Beyonce of it all specifically. I love seeing them, A, because of the imperfections that we're all aware of because they've talked about it, but B, I think there was a time where like rappers weren't out here getting married and like showing wives and talking about wives. It was like always about all the women they could have. So I my hope for the future of Black Love, you know, as a theory, as a mission, is like that continues. And for the future of like our community of Black Love is for this platform, this community to permeate everything else. I'm not just saying this because Target is the live stream sponsor, but I think that companies like Target and brands that we're talking to about continuing to highlight what we're doing and our people and our community and our love. I mean, even some, you know, love brands like jewelry and such, like really wanting to show up in this space of showing us in happy, loving relationships. I want that to continue. I want Black Love to be a term that everyone understands. We're still in a space, and I know because I did a whole bunch of little Black History Month speeches for brands this past year. We're still in a space where people are like, why? Why do Black people need love? You know, why do they need their own term? What does it mean? And I don't want to answer that anymore, you know?
I agree, and I agree. I also see the Black Love conversation and platform obviously being global, especially, you know, as someone who's a huge fan of the continent, I think it's really important because the way we show up in love culturally is different from place to place. And those examples are just really, really vital, especially because there is no absolute way to demonstrate and exist in Black Love, which is so, so real. What about you, Tommy? What's your hope for the future of Black Love?
Black Love the company, Black Love the phrase, Black Love the show.
What do you... All the things Black Love. All the things Black Love. All the things Black Love.
I, like Cody, want it to continue to permeate into our culture, into society, and for people to understand that there are happy, loving Black couples, and there is a different side, and I want it to be seen and felt and done organically. And when a cop stops somebody, they see somebody's spouse, or they see somebody's son, or
that's
they see
good.
Somebody's, it's just
father
when,
or
when we're humanized, it changes things. And I'm still, maybe I'm naive, but I still believe that film and TV and media can have an impact, and it will continue to change things even just a little bit. Also, for somebody like the younger version of me to see people that they see on TV talking about their relationships growing up and understanding that love is cool, relationships are cool. It's not just the way that it was before. And so that's what I want for Black Love.
I love that. I think you can give a clap for that. I think the other thing that I heard you say is that Black Love is not the same exactly as Black relationship. And so we have to understand that the existence and the experience of Black Love is the feeling and how we show up The relationships are a result of the love that we have and that we feel connected in. Thank you so much. Before, so I want to, anyone have any questions for Tommy or Cody? Come on. I think someone has a mic. Introduce yourself, please, just in case. I'm sure you've probably...
I'm Michael again, but...
Okay.
My question is, the platform of Black Love, when you guys first initially started this, was the vision the same, or can you kind of take me to the beginning of what that process was like? And I ask that because me and my wife are kind of in the beginning stages of trying to build a platform. So was the vision always the same, and how did that process first start when you first had that vision of starting this platform?
I love how, like, you first. No, you first.
Right?
You go. Tommy, you go.
Right?
So it was back in, I don't know, 2015 or so when we started shooting.
14.
Well, we shot a little bit in 2014. Mm-hmm. And 2014, 2015, it was... I knew that there was a lot of opportunity and potential for what we needed, for what I needed. I mean, I'll just speak for me. It's like, I wanted the insight from the couples that we were talking to. I wanted to understand how they made things work. And I believed in what we were doing significantly. And as evidenced by the fact when we took the, like we had a different route for the show where we shot the entire first season. We cut the first episode. We cut a sizzle. We wrote a treatment and we took it out. And we did that because I wanted to operate from a place of leverage and as much as possible, because I believed and we believed that there was a lot of need for something like it. And we sort of gambled. Well, I pushed quite a bit for us to own the show instead of owning the show. And that was a bet on the future. That was a bet on us being able to do things with the episodes, with the seasons, with the interviews, with everything else. And, you know, something as simple as showing those clips, we didn't have to ask anybody. Cody and I own every single interview. We own every single piece of everything. 100% of blacklove.com, 100% of the Black Love Summit, 100% of the Youth Retreat, 100% of our socials, 100% of all 30-plus episodes of the show, 100% of every digital series, all of it. And it was because we set it up in the beginning so that we could do that, so that it wasn't just what somebody else wanted. It wasn't somebody else's vision, even OWN. Like, they're a great partner. But I didn't want us to be beholden to what they thought the show would be or what they thought the platform could be. And so we were intentional about it. And the other thing that we did was that any money that we made from the series or from any part of it, we just reinvested. And we just continued to reinvest and reinvest and reinvest. And part of it was because we believed that the content was needed. And sometimes we reinvested irresponsibly, just because we just wanted to make sure that we were doing things that contributed to the culture, and with the understanding that we're looking toward the horizon and building a company that can support what we need and share the content that we need and be a place for people to learn about love and self-love and relationships and parenting and all of it. And so it's a long way of saying, yeah, we believed in it.
And even, and I want to add, just even if your platform as it evolves, right? I think what I'm hearing Tommy say is, like, make sure you own every piece of it. Partner efficiently and effectively to build and expand the platform and know that that's the opportunity. But, like, own it all. Own it all. I love it.
Yeah.
Another question over here. Over here, too. Beautiful people.
Hi, fam.
Hi.
So my question is this. So we don't refer to arguing as arguing or fighting. We refer to it as heated fellowship in our relationship.
Ooh, heated fellowship. Come on.
Yeah,
come together.
Because when you say fighting, right?
Yeah.
It puts that thought in your head. But I was wondering, Tommy had talked about being intentional before. And so since, you know, when you have trauma or traumatic events that happen or something that triggers a heated fellowship, like filming the shows, right, or and things come up, have you come up with a strategy? Is that a part of the healing, or what you guys have gone to, you're better now? Is that a part of it where you're doing things differently? Like maybe not.
So is there like
talking.
A system?
Yeah, like not talking immediately after you film or discussion. Are you doing something different?
Thank
so
you.
We haven't figured out anything for the show yet, and we probably should. But we have sort of like the way that you call things heated fellowships. We've learned over time the things that are triggers for the other person. Mm-hmm. And we try our best to be respectful of those things. And it's sort of like, I don't like being cursed at. And again, like, I'm from Philly. It's like, you curse at me, it's like, I'm ready to fight. And that's just sort of...
That's more heated fellowship.
Like, no, it's like, that's just what it is. It's like, it's just... That's just what I grew up with, and that's what it was. And does that mean it's right now? No, but it's a trigger. And so she knows that, but she gets heated sometimes. And to her credit, like, when she does, it'll come out, and she'll be like, I'm sorry, I'm not cursing at you. It's like, you are, but it's like it's fine. But like, it's okay. And so it's like, even in fighting, there are things you don't do. There are places you shouldn't go. And I think we've both tried very hard to not go there, except when we're shooting the show.
I think too, I mean, this is not an answer to the question, it's just more context, that we're still in this place of like learning each other, and our seasons of marriage have not been like 20 years. Like I used to say,
this is the truth.
When we started doing these interviews, we were engaged, and then we were pregnant, and then we were parents, and then we were pregnant again.
You all have always had something going on.
And that was 5 years. It sounds like that could be 15 years. You know what I mean? So all of that was happening. And so I was thinking about the argument that we got in recently. We when we started doing the latest season, it had nothing to do with the couples. I remember. It was an argument that I think, ultimately, and I'm not, this isn't like, I don't even care. It's the season that we're in. And the season that we're in added some tension to an interview, like the process. It had nothing to do with the conversation. It was like he was taking a call when we should have been da-da-da. He needed to take the call, you know, like, but it the season that we're in was like, these interviews have changed. The process at which we do them has changed because now we're working more on these other things, you know, so we're still learning how to navigate those seasons.
But I love your question, though, because what it sounds like, and Tommy said this, but like you have to have your absolutes around like what's off the table, right, for the heated fellowship. Like, you do this, this makes me feel like this, I'm not going to be, like, I'm the person, like, don't raise your voice. And, you know, some people define it as passion. I'm like, don't be passionate. I don't want no passion. I don't want no passion right now. And I am, unfortunately, the person that will, like, speak very softly and agitate the living daylights out of him.
Yeah, see that.
So,
But that's also a choice. And see, the thing is, I don't really get bothered much, yeah. And it'll be the same.
You a Capricorn?
Sort of
thing. No. Oh, okay.
But it's a problem because it goes back to, you may do that and you may win, but you're not winning overall.
And I think that's I think one of the like, I love what you said about, no, it's not about anyone winning, which is why I also love the idea of this fellowship, because it really is about coming together. And I think that if you come to it in a space like, how do we resolve this? And if that is the goal, then we'll figure it out and we'll solve it. I saw one more question.
Sorry, but I was gonna say one more thing. And this has also been a journey for me, like, to that very point. We can get into something and it may feel like I'm winning for me because she's sitting there passionate and I'm sitting here completely normal and my voice sounds like this, kind of looking at her like she's crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that doesn't help us.
No,
and so it's like...
So then what do you do? Do you become more passionate or you look at her like she's sane?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't become more passionate because, again, it's like, it's just not how I am. But I understand how... I understand and accept that it's frustrating to her. And so it's not a victory that I can stay calm for us. And so like, I'm still going as they come, but I know that it is frustrating for her. And so then I'll try to figure out how to at least acknowledge it or something. Because again,
I'm a little more passionate.
Yes, acknowledge it.
But I'm not going to become more.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
and I'm just kidding.
And I'm not. I appreciate what you're saying. And I think that what, as a passionate person,
right? I feel like it's so annoying to be told like, calm down, or like, you know, don't yell at me. And of course, I shouldn't yell at you. But my point is like, I also want him to see.
That
I'm right.
Yeah,
see that
it.
I'm upset, and that like
I don't need to be yelled at.
No. I'm saying I understand your point, and I simultaneously like want to be given enough grace for you to recognize that I'm upset.
Which I get, but
and
part
you
of,
do. That wasn't a criticism.
I understand, but I think part of it for me is that it's the sort of like cursing. It's like if you want to curse at me, one of two things will happen. I'm either going to exceed where you are. I'm not going to meet you. I'm going to exceed it because, again, I'm from Philly. I'm not losing. Or I'm just going to stop because I don't want to exceed you. Yeah. Neither is good. Yeah. Because for her,
that's good.
When it's good. She that's starts good. To curse or gets your passionate.
You're acting like I do this all the time.
No, it's not all the time. But when it happens, it's like this. And so if I'm going to just not do anything and I won't engage at all, well, that infuriates her.
Yep.
But it's a situation. And so it does, and I know that. And so it's like, yeah. Okay, I'm not going to out-aggress. Right? I'm not going to be more aggressive because that's just going to be bad. I can't do nothing because that's going to be bad for her. And so it's trying to figure out this delicate balance, which it ain't fun, but it's needed.
I love this idea that it's not about I will win. It's about how do we win. Mm-hmm. It's just the we. That's what it is. Yeah. I think you had a question. This will be the last one.
Hi.
Hi.
It's been wonderful. Well, first, thank you both for the Black Love experience. We love the show. Just listening to the show and even being here today with everyone being vulnerable and sharing their stories empowers us. Together, we're in business, very successful business, and it's been times where we didn't want to share. You know, we wanted to just kind of stay behind the scene because of the fear of the criticism or people thinking that we're something that we're not, and then you feel like you're trying to prove to folks, we ain't that people. You know, we're who we were when you first met us. So just having a platform to even share Black love stories is amazing. But Cody, you mentioned earlier, and I just wanted for clarification for myself, about that you were in therapy. And then Tommy talks to your therapist. Do you guys do therapy together?
I was going
to
ask that question. Great.
See, great minds think alike.
There we go.
We had tried therapy together in the past, and I would say it didn't work. Like, we did not have the right people.
Did we try once or twice?
I think it was twice.
Yeah, and so I think that was a big issue. That was a problem. And so ultimately, it wasn't like, oh, let's not do that again. It was I wanted a therapist when I wanted a therapist, which was the pandemic. I was like, I need to talk to someone because I'm not going to make it in this house. And that person ultimately would also talk with him about, you know, the things that I shared. So it was really helpful, like really helpful.
This therapy thing. So I said to my significant other, like, I'm in therapy. And he has wanted, he said, maybe we should start to go soon at the time. But I said, you should go to therapy on your own too. I think that like individual therapy before you come together, because, mm-hmm. And this is not just even in relationship, I'm going to be fully transparent. I said this to my mom because we need to heal some of our things. And I'm in therapy and she's like, well, why don't I just go to your therapist? I said, because you need therapy on your own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that way we can come together in therapy, because the other thing about it is that if you're not in therapy for yourself, you're not going to be as receptive to the help of the two, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. If you're not ready for it, even if you go for someone else because somebody tells you to go, you know, your mama, him, if they're not ready, they're not going to get anything out of it.
They're not, and then it's just going to be wasting my $250 a session, which I'm not here for. So you go, I go, we go. Like the we. I have like just a couple of, I have a couple of rapid fire questions that I, first of all, like, who is your Black love goals? Who is your Black love goals? Not, and it could be someone that you've interviewed or not, yeah. But.
So I'll just say, you know, goals is always a funny word because you never really know.
This is true.
But people that I look at and like to see that they're still together and would love to hear more of their stories, too.
I love how she has a very specific.
Because you know, you just don't know.
Yeah.
Debbie Allen and Norm Nixon.
Oh, that's a lovely one.
And of course, the Obamas.
Oh my God, yes.
Of course.
For sure. Okay, you, Tommy.
The only person I'm in competition with is my previous self. The only person that I care about in terms of relationship is us. And so it's about us being better tomorrow and a month from now than we are today.
I love it. That was beautiful.
And the Obamas.
Okay, rapid fire. Now, this is rapid fire, and then we're going to close out, because I know everyone's had a long day, but this has been really, really fun. No more than 1 to 5 words, okay? Finish this statement. Black love is, Cody.
Oh, Jesus. Black love is loving abundantly.
Black love is, Tommy?
Power.
Black love is power. Okay. Black love ain't, Cody.
Black love ain't judgment and fear.
Okay, love that, Tommy. Black love ain't
the crap you used to see on Google Image.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You literally got it down to five words. Y'all. I love it. Okay, all right. I feel most loved when. Come on.
I know. There's so many. Honestly, there's
most,
so
most,
many.
Most.
I feel most loved when he does something that I actually asked.
Okay.
He does a lot of thoughtful things I did not ask. And sometimes I'm like, okay.
Just what I asked, says Cody.
Story of my
Spoken
life.
Spoken like a true producer director. Okay, so Tommy, beautiful. I feel most loved when.
She actually pays attention to me.
Oh, okay.
She has a problem with her phone. She's getting better.
Okay. I want everyone to accept that black love can. Black love can.
Be the solution to a lot of our internal community trauma and externally.
Love that. You want everyone to know that black love can. Tommy.
Change the world.
Change the world.
That's good, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Change my answer.
My most romantic memory is...
I want to say Costa Rica when we were looking for our wedding venue. Not the whole thing. We had, you know, you argue when you're trying to get married. But just the time, my memories from that time.
How about you, Tommy?
A very sweet dinner that Cody did for me earlier this year.
Aww.
For us.
What'd you make?
Thai.
I'm sorry.
What did I order?
Oh, I was about to. But I was like, wait a minute, what
it
happened?
It was very nicely planned, and she put the whole thing together, and it was.
They had place settings and
yes, there were candles. There was a record player.
And lots of.
Oh stuff. Yeah, the details.
Okay, the details. I love it. Okay, last rapid fire. Sex equals.
That was the last one.
Equals.
Yeah.
Bow chicken wow wow.
That is his final answer. Equals.
Connection.
I love it. Is your bounce? Is that your answer?
Bounce chicka wow wow.
Let's give it up for Cody and Tommy Oliver, founders of Black Love. Thank you so much. I'm Ty Beauchamp. So great to be here with you.
Yes.
Congratulations on the Black Love Summit.
And let's give it up to you all for being here. Yes. Okay, safely vaccinated.
Yes.
Appreciate y'all.